they were. And so, the last will be first, and the first will be last. Have a couple of pages on this, and we have plenty of time to do it. So let's look at this. I think this is one of those kingdom principles that goes against our flesh. It's not often preached. It's certainly not a way to get people to volunteer for nursery work. But it's a kingdom of God's, a principle of God's kingdom, which I think tells me something about his heart, which I'm so grateful for. I learned four things from this parable, which I'll give you at the end there. I'm sure there are more, and probably if I pondered it longer, I'd come up with more. But let's look at the details of this. He hires a group of guys, goes into town, hires a group of guys to work in his vineyard. In Israel, in August, in the grape harvest, because of the latter rain and the early rains, which is quite unique to the land of Israel, if the latter rain comes at the wrong time, you could lose all or at least part of your harvest. It's probably true, Mark, isn't it, of any place where everybody's crops depend on when it's harvested. And if all of a sudden a tornado comes right before you're going to harvest anything, you lost a whole year. Not only that, you may have lost all your seed corn for the following year. So what would happen is people figured this out, and it was, and you, a bunch of guys would be standing around like in the Great Depression when jobs were scarce. Guys would be just standing around waiting to get hired. And the landowner sees this blackening sky. So he goes down and he hires a bunch of guys. He hires this first group early in the morning. And he agrees to pay them a denarius. What's a denarius? Well, my research tells me that the wages of a Roman soldier at that time was one denarius, which means this guy wasn't a cheapskate. This was a good living. Romans paid their men actually pretty well. So he goes out and he says, I'll give you a decent wage if you'll work for me. Yes, sir. That is a contract. I give you a denarius, you work for me. That's a contract, right? So he goes out, what, four more times? One, two, three, four more times. Now, why do he goes out right before dark and grabs a bunch of guys, tell me that the storm may have been coming faster than he thought? Maybe they had to get them all in, and it, the work had been going slower. But all of the other groups, except for that first guy, he hired them. He says, I'll just pay you whatever's fair. They agreed. They went out. That also is a contract, isn't it? He didn't say, I'll pay a denarius. He said, I'll just pay whatever's, what's the exact word? I'll pay whatever's right. Verse 4. I just love how Jesus tells stories, because there's just something, every part of it has import. So you get to the end, now it's time to pay everybody, and he says, call the last guys first. Do you realize that if he had called the first guys first, given them their denarius, you'd have lost the whole point of this story, because they would have gone home happy campers. They wouldn't have known what anybody else got paid. But no, he said, do it backwards. Call those guys that worked an hour. And he pays them a denarius, a whole day's wage. And then the whiners come in and they go, well, no, they didn't whine until it says they expected to get more. What verse is that? Verse 10. When those who worked all day, who've been hired first, they expected to receive more. And I wrote in my margins, why? And that, I think, is a really good question. They signed a contract. The contract was, I'll give you a denarius if you work for me. They did. So why did they expect to receive more? It's a very revealing answer. because they compared what others got to what they thought they deserved. I personally believe that's number one reason for grumbling in God's kingdom. I'm just as godly as she is. I don't know why she got a husband and I didn't. I've studied the Bible for more years. I don't know why I was made an elder and he wasn't. Oh, I could tell you some very pathetic things that I've seen. I've seen churches almost destroyed, and I have seen churches destroyed because some wife thought that her husband had more of a right to be the pastor than the guy who was the pastor. In Jesus' parables, the landowner, almost said Land Rover again, the landowner was a picture of God. So this is obviously a picture of working in God's kingdom and how that kingdom operates. Here's the overarching message. The first guys who signed the contract for denarius, it could have been for 10 cents. It could have been for anything. The landowner decided what he wanted to pay. They signed the contract. So really, everybody's wages were grace, if you stop to think about it. Meaning he did it because he wanted to. It's just that the guys who worked all day, and they were absolutely correct. I find myself empathizing. When I was in Maui with you guys, some guy trotted into town for a couple of weeks on the beach and then filled in and spoke at the Wednesday night service at this church. And he'd been pastoring for about 8 months. Started his church from scratch, and there were 1,500 people. And I'm sitting there listening to this thinking, yeah, not if you were in Maine, buddy. And there's this little bit of resentment. I bust my rear end to do this, and I can't get people to show up 2 weeks in a row. And this guy just waltzes into one of the most beautiful parts of Oregon in, 6 months, 1,500 people. That's not fair. You thought, I never did stuff like that, didn't you? God reminded me when I was thinking there in that, first of all, that I was in Maui. Hello, Bob. The clue bus honking its horn. You're not suffering, dude. You're not suffering. The Lord reminded me that years ago, I made him a deal. I signed a contract. I meant it, and I tell you, it's been tested. But many years ago, decades ago, I said, I am yours. I'll do anything you ask me to do. You pick the job, I'll do it. I'll do it with all my heart. And you can pay me whatever you want to pay me. Like I said, that's been tested. There was a time when the money was flowing like wine, when I was working in recording and royalties were coming in. And there was other times where I did not know where my next meal was coming from. When he called me to be a pastor, my first church grew huge in a really short period of time. The next one didn't. The first time was fun. The second time was hard. The contract was the same. I'm yours. I'll do whatever you ask me to do. You can pay me whatever you want. Boy, I tell you, looking around at what other people are getting can mess you up. That's one of the things I think that I learned from this parable. I think it's one of the things Jesus was trying to teach. Is that all God expects from you is what he gives you to do. He's not comparing how hard you work with how hard somebody else works. The standard of success for a servant is faithfulness, period. And like I said, that has been tested in my life. This whole thing of the guys who worked all day coming up and grumbling and whining, doesn't that kind of remind you of the prodigal son's older brother? It does me. Here's two sons. One of them is just a brat, basically. He comes and says, I want my money and I'll get out of here. And who wants to hang out and wait till you're dead? Dad, give it to me now. Went out, wasted it all. And he finally comes to himself and says, man, I had it so good at home. What was I thinking? And he's memorizing this little repentance speech as he's headed back towards dad's house. And meanwhile, father's watching with a set of binoculars. And he sees him while he's a long way off, and he runs out to meet him, and he falls on his neck and he kisses him. Exactly the opposite response that he was expecting. He doesn't even let him get through his repentance speech. Oh, yeah, okay, you're repenting. That's okay. Well, come on, let's throw a party. I'm so glad you're not dead. I'm so glad you're here. I missed you. So everybody in the whole household's having this fabulous barbecue except one guy. And he's not going to come to the barbecue because he's sulking. And when he finally is invited in, he said, never threw me any party. I worked all day in the heat of the day and bore the burden. You give these guys an entire day's wages and they only worked one day. Boy, he didn't know his father's heart very well, did he? He could have had a barbecue any time he wanted. He had his father. For one thing, apparently that was chopped liver because it didn't seem to impress him very much. Jesus told that parable about the prodigal son, not for the benefit of the guy that was lost, although it makes a great salvation sermon, doesn't it? No matter how much you waste everything, God loves you so much that the minute your heart turns, he's waiting with open arms to welcome you back, and I love that story. But that's not why Jesus told it. He told it for the benefit of the Pharisees who didn't go waste everything, who thought they were the good son. But they were mad at Jesus because Jesus was showing pretty undeserving people lavish grace. And that ticked them off. That's why I think those two parables fit very, very well together. I love to talk to people about this because we've all realized that we could all be guilty of this. I've seen women who wouldn't go to a wedding because they've been wanting a husband and God hadn't given them one. And now here's this person and she was hardly even praying about it. And God plopped this wonderful guy down. I'm not going to go to her wedding. Or the church thing.
I'm sweating it out here with the black flies and everything and our church can't get off the ground. And here's this guy goes to Grants Pass, Oregon.
Oh, I gave it away. Does a few Bible studies and 1,500 people show up, and that's just not fair. Who says? What was I hired to do? I was hired to serve my master. He says, okay, go here. It'll be hard, but you'll be rewarded. I want to know Jesus' heart so well that instead of being the guys that worked all day and got paid the same amount as the guys that worked only an hour and being bummed, that I could rejoice for them more than I was bummed for what I got. He was fair, you know, with these guys, wasn't he? These first guys, God gave them, the landowner gave them exactly what he agreed to. They only felt ripped off because they compared themselves to others. Ooh, there's such a lesson there, isn't there? Do I have 5 more minutes? Oh, good. Let me tell you one other revealing story of what a pathetic loser I am. When I lived out here before this last time, I came out to help Brian get the church started down in Portland. I was here a couple of years. And while I was here, I got a phone call from back in my home state, actually in one of my favorite towns in my home state, from a Bible study. In fact, they cried on the phone. They called me every night for a couple of nights, and they said, "We're sheep without a shepherd. We don't have anybody to teach the Bible study. We're just reading through this one of Chuck's studies. Would you come be our pastor?" That wasn't very hard of a decision to make. I did pray about it, to credit me. I did pray. And I thought the Lord said, "Yeah, you can do that." I laid a patch of rubber all the way from the upper right-hand corner to the upper left-hand corner, and I went out and got myself settled in on my little island, and I started teaching the Bible studies, and it started growing. It grew pretty fast, just like my first church did. About 7 or 8 months into it, when we were looking for a bigger building, the guy who'd cried on the phone and whined about not having a sheep and or not having a shepherd and would I come, he came over to my house and he said, "Well, you know, Bob, I was praying about it last night, and I think God told me that I'm supposed to be the pastor now." And my knee-jerk reaction was not a godly one. My knee-jerk reaction was, okay, he's got 50 pounds on me, but I'm faster. I think I can take him. You know, 2 out of 3 falls, gets to be the pastor. You know. WWP. And that night, and I said, you know, I'm just going to have to pray about this. And that night, I did one of those things that you tell people later was praying, but really was just whining in front of God. It wasn't anything like prayer. It was whining. I just said, "I'm the one that sacrificed. I moved 4,000 miles and blah, 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 blah. I just feel so used." And God just wasn't working with me on this. And he said, "Okay, is this the same Bob call? According to our heavenly records, we have 8,197 prayers of you begging to be used. Is this the same Bob call that prayed that prayer?" Well, technically, I might have said that 8,000 times. "Well, okay, you're being used. What did you think that was going to look like?" Well, I won't finish the rest of that conversation. I'm just to say it was very, very humiliating, because I had expected something very different. And sometimes God does that just to allow you to see your own heart. Okay, will you pour yourself into it when it's hard and you're not making lots of money and there's not a lot of people coming? Will you still give it your all? Oh, sure. Let's find out. I just think it's just an interesting, because it is a principle of God's kingdom. There may come along somebody that doesn't work nearly as hard as you, doesn't seem nearly as devoted as you, and they might get the same reward you get, or more, at least temporarily. We do know from what Jesus said a few weeks ago that God notices everything, keeps track of everything that's done for him. So it's never wasted. We may see that more later than we do now. I just love these. Do I have 3 more minutes? Okay. I love how the landowner reasons. I love how God reasons with this whiner, these whiners. He said, "Look, friend, we made a deal. I've not been unfair. Yeah, I realize I gave more to these guys for working less, but I did it because I wanted to." Now, this is something that disciples need to learn right away, is that God, that all of God's blessings are grace. They all are. He doesn't apportion it out the way that sometimes I would. I don't know why guys that are pastor in this area that won't even speak to me. Have huge brand new church buildings and fabulous things going on and won't even talk to me as their brother. Or people start going to a different fellowship where the pastor yells at them all the time.
Why couldn't you? I love them. Why couldn't they be here?
You know, all those other stupid things that we do. And the Lord's always just brings you back to that same ground. What did you agree to do? You asked me to use your life. I am. You said you'd do it for whatever I wanted to give you. Okay. Did you mean that? Well, yes, I did, sort of. Till I saw what they got. See, that's the problem. Here's the four things I learned from this story. Number one is that God wants to be generous. Why do we think that's wrong? Well, we don't think it's wrong if it's us. We do think it's wrong if it's somebody else. Technically, the landowner was generous with even the first guys. He gave him a Roman soldier's full day's wage just for going out and picking grapes. No swords and blood and life-threatening injuries involved. So God wants to be generous. I love that about him. That will always work out in our favor, by the way. Thing number two is that God measures our reward by faithfulness and obedience to what he's called us to do and not somebody else. Well, that's a valuable lesson to learn. Third thing I learned from this is watch out for jealousy. Jealousy is not other people's problem. And I tell you, it could sneak up on any of us. That's why there are people that aren't here anymore in our church. Boy, you know what? You can miss how much you've been blessed working for the Master. How generous he's been. You can completely miss it by just looking at what somebody else got that you didn't. You know? Here's the other thing, and I'll close with this. It's never too late to start to obey. God's kingdom may be the only place on this planet where that's true. Do I have three more minutes? Okay. The real thing is when the landowner comes and asks you, will you work in my vineyard, is what will you say? But it's never too late to start. Let's pray. Thank you for these words, Lord. They are uncomfortable in how they expose our flesh. They're wonderful and thrilling when we see your heart. And so, Lord, I pray that this story that was told to illustrate something about your kingdom right on the heels of the rich young ruler, all of these things we would take to a heart and find ourselves jettisoning the weight that might be slowing us down, whatever it might be, and coming and following you and being with you, because that's where the life is. Bless your word, Lord. Bless these dear ones who came to hear it. All those that hear, Lord, we want to be doers and not just hearers. So help us apply it to our lives in Jesus' name. Amen. Thanks for coming.